Section 4. Economic Development in Royal Georgia. The royal period was a time of growth and increasing prosperity for the colony. Georgia's economic base remained agriculture, and farmers introduced new crops to the colony. Some of those crops required a great deal of work to grow, leading to the growing use of labor from enslaved people. The land policy changed, making it easier for settlers to obtain land and allowing them to have much larger land holdings. By the end of the period, Georgia's economy was becoming similar to the economy of its South Carolina neighbor. A changing economy. Georgia's early economy depended on small-scale farming and trade. All Georgia farmers grew food crops like corn, beans, peas, potatoes, and garden vegetables. These were subsistence crops, meaning they were used to meet the needs of farmers and their families. Corn, which they learned to cultivate from the American Indians, became the major food of most diets. It could be ground into flour for bread. If a farmer had a surplus of crops, more than they needed, the farmer would try to sell it, usually in the nearby town or community. Vegetables that would spoil quickly could not be taken very far, so they had to be sold nearby. The farmers also raised chickens, cows, and pigs. Georgians also made money from their pine trees. The trees were valuable for their timber and gooey sap, used to manufacture tar, pitch, and turpentine. The Royal Navy used tar and pitch to plug gaps in wooden ships to make them waterproof and used turpentine for cleaning. These products were known as naval stores. Important agricultural products. Wheat, rice, indigo, silk, and tobacco were essential agricultural products that significantly influenced the colony's economy. Wheat, for example, was a basic food crop used for making bread. Wheat could be exported as a grain or milled into flour. The low-lying coastal areas were good for growing rice because that crop requires fields that can be flooded at certain points. Cultivating rice also required many workers, so family farms did not produce rice. Large rice plantations began as Georgia's ban on slavery ended. The increase in large plantations growing cash crops increased the colony's overall wealth. By the 1750s, Georgia planters were also growing the indigo plant. Indigo, which was used to make blue dye for clothing, was in high demand in Europe. Its cultivation had begun in South Carolina, but it also grew well in Georgia. Georgia's production of the dye was at its highest in 1775, when 22,000 pounds were shipped to England. Silk was made from silkworms and used to make fabrics, although it was less successful in Georgia. Many settlers did not know how to care for silkworms, and the mulberry trees did not thrive as well as expected in Georgia's climate. Tobacco was an extremely profitable cash crop in high demand in Europe. With the introduction of enslaved labor, tobacco production became more successful, and it became one of Georgia's most important exports. The growth of towns. Most Georgians were farmers or planters. They lived somewhat solitary lives at a great distance from people other than their families and fellow farm workers. Georgia's towns and villages supported other occupations. In Augusta, for example, several important American Indian traders formed a company trading in goods such as deerskins. The town of Savannah had many successful merchant firms. Professionals also worked in towns. Doctors practiced medicine and pharmacy, although some early treatments, like bleeding, could result in weakening the patient. Savannah also had many government officials. Lawyers, who had not been allowed to practice in the colony during the trustee period, came to Georgia during the royal period. They were respected and valuable members of the colony. Many of these prominent townspeople also owned plantations in the countryside. Communities had artisans such as coopers who made buckets and barrels. Cartwrights built carts and buggies, which were pulled by horses or mules. Blacksmiths made tools, nails, horseshoes, and other items from iron. Carpenters built with wood, and tanners made leather goods from animal skins. Bakers made mainly bread. Tailors sewed men's clothing, and chandlers made candles. In the ports of Savannah and Sunbury, there were men who built and repaired boats and ships. James Johnston made his living as a printer of the Georgia colony, founding the first newspaper. A few men made money by teaching children for a fee. Some men and a few women made their income by operating taverns and inns, the colonial equivalent of restaurants and hotels. These were places for people to eat and sleep, but they also served as gathering places where people talked about the events of the town. Taverns later served as meeting places for unhappy colonists who would later support the American Revolution.